Module 3, Your Pantry. Here's what you'll learn in this video. First, we're going to look at a step-by-step guide to setting up and using your own pantry. Then I'm going to take you on a virtual tour of my pantry, so you can have a look at a sticky peek in my house. Then we're going to look at how to stock your pantry and 13 ways to help your pantry come to the rescue. And finally, we'll look at the 4 most common pantry mistakes and, of course, how to avoid these. So a step-by-step guide to setting up and using your pantry. So step 1 is to choose just 2 pantry recipes. So there's 15 recipes, I think, included with this module that are all designed to use ingredients based in your pantry. So you probably thought I was going to say something like set aside some time to clean out your pantry, didn't you? Well, the good news is for your pantry to really help you, it just needs to do 2 things. First, it needs to supply enough of the right ingredients to make a particular meal. And second, it needs to help you remember that you have set ingredients in the house when you're feeling tired and hungry. And all it takes for this to happen is for you to choose just 2 recipes that you want to have as your backups. You don't have to have a massive pantry stock for it to be effective. So then step 2 is to buy the ingredients for those recipes. So it doesn't matter how you look at it. Unless you have actual ingredients in the house, you won't be able to cook. So make sure you buy some ingredients that you know will actually go together to make something delicious and quick. And then we move on to step number 3. And step number 3 is to relax. So pat yourself on the back. Remember that next time you need a quick emergency meal, instead of resorting to pizza, just head home and have some fun whipping up one of your delicious pantry dinners. It's that simple. And we have an optional bonus though. So step 4, set aside some time for a pantry spring cleaning session. So it's up to you to choose the format. Sometimes I take on the whole pantry at once, but mostly I just clean one shelf at a time. Here's how I do it. So first I just remove everything from the shelf. Then I throw out anything that smells funny, is well past its best before date, or if I have no idea what I'd use it in, or anything that I don't really like. Then I wipe down the shelf, put the keepers back in some sort of order, and that's pretty much it. I try and keep like items together, so I have like all the bottles together, like so my vinegars I put in the same spot and my sauces and oils go in the same spot, spices live in the spice box, and canned goods live together and so on. So you'll see what I mean when you watch the virtual tour on the next tab. Okay, so now we'll move on to how to stock your pantry. And just before we get into this, super important, please don't feel like you need to rush out and buy everything on this list. It's just designed to give you ideas. I don't always have all these items in my pantry all the time. So if you feel like it, you're welcome to choose 1 or 2 items from each category, so you kind of have a well-rounded pantry. But you could also just let your pantry grow organically by choosing the 2 or more pantry recipes below and making sure you have the stock for those the ingredients for those recipes. It's way more important to have that rather than have, you know, everything on the list and something from each of these categories. But that being said, I thought it's still good fun to kind of have a look through and give you some ideas about what sort of ingredients do I class as pantry ingredients. So oils, I usually have a good quality extra virgin olive oil for salads and drizzling. And then I also have a cheaper extra virgin. Sometimes I have a cheaper extra virgin olive oil that I use for cooking. And then I also, these days I usually have rice bran oil or macadamia oil for frying, or we need a neutral flavored oil. So rice bran oil is probably my preference there. In terms of vinegars, sherry vinegar, my all-time favorite, and probably second favorite would be rice vinegar or rice wine vinegar. It's labeled as both, but it's the same thing, depending on where you are. So both of those are my favorites. Although if you can't find those, you know, red wine vinegar is also something I do use from time to time. Balsamic vinegar pictured there, because sometimes, you know, you do want a little more sweetness, and I love a good balsamic. And then I also included lemons in here. They're not technically vinegar, but they do the same thing. So I always have lemons in the house. Then moving on, our next kind of category is canned things. So this is tomatoes. I always have, you know, whole, and I prefer to use whole peeled tomatoes rather than crushed tomatoes, just because then you know you're getting, but you're getting quality tomatoes. It's harder for them to dilute them down. Canned chickpeas, my all-time favorite pantry ingredient. Canned beans, I usually have some butter beans and cannellini beans, but you know, red kidney beans, and you can get black beans as well in cans. Lentils in a can, not something I use, you know, heaps of, but I do have them just on hand for emergencies. Canned fish, I always have tuna in oil, and I tend to buy one with that's got chili in it as well. And sardines, then I also sometimes have salmon, you know, and canned oysters and mussels can be lovely as well if you're into them. Canned chicken, so sometimes I have some smoked chicken in a can in the pantry. And finally, canned things, coconut milk or coconut cream. So especially for Asian cooks, or if you need to be dairy free, coconut milk can be a real lifesaver. Then we'll move on to jars. So I usually have curry paste, at least one or two. So look at red Thai, green Thai, or Indian curry pastes. Then tomatoes in jars. I usually have tomato paste, but you can also look at having puree or tomato pasta sauce, marinara sauce. Then we also have tahini, which is ground up sesame seed, just one of an ingredient I use a lot. Then in jars, you can also get jars of vegetables, so things like roast red peppers and grilled eggplant, which can be really handy to have in the pantry for emergencies. Pesto is another thing, Vegemite something else I keep, and peanut butter for those who don't like Vegemite. My Irishman's a huge fan of peanut butter. And then we also have sweeteners, so things like, I usually have some honey and rice malt syrup, but you know, you might like to include maple syrup there as well. Then moving on to sauces and condiments. So mustard, I usually have Dijon and whole grain mustard. I'm a big mustard fan. Soy sauce, wonderfully versatile. I use it in all sorts of dishes, not just Asian stuff. Mayonnaise, if you're into that. Ketchup, which we also call tomato sauce here in Australia, but I find it does contain sugar, but it's a great ingredient to have. And then oyster sauce pictured there, and or fish sauce is another thing I often have in my pantry. Then something you might think of, but there are pantry vegetables, so potatoes, garlic, and onions. You know, they keep in the pantry for you know, a long time, so don't forget about them. Then moving on to seasonings. So I usually keep two types of salt. So I'll have sea salt flakes, like Maldon salt, and then I'll have a cheaper, fine ground salt or kosher salt that I'll use for, you know, putting in water when I'm cooking pasta and that sort of thing. That's not so expensive. Then other seasonings I keep on hand are black peppercorns, and I think really it's one of my favorite seasonings to use and buy the best quality you can afford, and freshly ground black pepper is always the way forward. Then in terms of spices, I'd recommend keeping some dried chili flakes or chili powder, curry powder, ground cumin, ground coriander, favorites, garam masala I like to use, which is an Indian spice blend, and smoked paprika is probably my other spice I'd recommend, but I do have others as well. Then moving on to baking. So this isn't for everyone, but if you are into baking, you know, some sort of flour, whether that's almond meal, plain flour, bread flour, rice flour, gluten-free flour. Then sugar, so up to you, you know, white sugar. I usually have some caster sugar, some brown sugar, and I also keep stevia on hand for baking. Other baking ingredients include cocoa powder, baking powder, and dried yeast. And then moving on to dry goods, this is a photo of my old pantry when I used to live in Sydney. So lentils, so you know, green lentils, French style, pui lentils, red lentils, you know, any lentils are great. Then I usually keep some dried beans or chickpeas, and usually some of both of those. And then carbs, I kind of just group them all together depending on what you eat there. There's pasta, noodles, couscous, basmati rice or any rice, barley. And then other dry goods, I include your rolled oats, quinoa, chia seeds, oat bran, and chia seed bran. then nuts get their own category of their own. I love nuts. I think they're awesome. So I usually have a few different types on hand, but not necessarily all at once. So things like almonds pictured there, pine nuts, hazelnuts, walnuts, pistachios, Brazil nuts, and cashews. Then in the fridge, which is an extension of your pantry, I think that's really important thing to remember. Things like cheeses keep well in the fridge, so hard cheeses like Parmesan and other hard cheeses. Ricotta, if it's in a packaged container, can last in the fridge for quite a while. Then packaged goat cheeses or halloumi, feta, and cottage cheese all kind of can last for months in the fridge. And then other dairy, I always have butter on hand, and I make my own yogurt, but yeah, you're welcome to use commercial yogurts as well. Then condiments, the little jars that collect, I usually have mayonnaise or aioli, pesto, miso paste, pickled vegetables like sauerkraut or kimchi, mustard, I often have capers, olives, harissa, and wasabi. And then long life vegetables that keep in the fridge, I've also included them in the pantry section. So just to get your head around that, some vegetables will keep for a month in the fridge. So things like cabbage, cauliflower, celery, carrots, beets, although the leaves will wilt on those, parsnip, celeriac or celery root, kohlrabi, sweet potato, green onions or scallions, ginger, pumpkin or winter squash, swedes and rutabagas. Then in terms of protein in the fridge that lasts for a long time, so things like packaged smoked fish, eggs in the fridge, cured meats like prosciutto and salami, dried chorizo, packaged tofu, and then cryovac meat, although that only keeps for a couple of weeks, so it's not a true pantry ingredient. And then in terms of pantry ingredients in the freezer, so I usually keep frozen peas and frozen spinach. You can also get frozen broad beans and other vegetables, artichokes. Fruit, I tend to have some frozen berries, but you can also freeze banana and mango and other fruits. Protein, I usually have different types of meat in the freezer, sausages. You can keep frozen fish and poultry as well. Then herbs that I keep in the freezer, so rosemary, and I used to keep rosemary, but now that I have masses of it growing in the garden, I don't. But rosemary freezes well, thyme, kaffir lime leaves are great to have in the freezer, and curry leaves can be great as well. And then in terms of spices in the freezer, fresh turmeric and fresh ginger can be great. And then other ingredients from the freezer, so puff pastry and bread if you're into those sorts of things. So now we'll move on to look at 13 ways to help your pantry come to the rescue. So without some sort of pantry backup, life can be much harder than it needs to be. The thing is, having some sort of pantry doesn't need to be difficult or scary or require any sort of superhuman organization. So we'll just go through some tips here to help you with your pantry. So number one, automate your shopping list. So a pantry is only as helpful as the ingredients that it stocks, of course. So by developing the habit of having an ongoing list for pantry and other household items, you'll find that you automatically replenish pantry stock on a regular basis. So I just have an app on my phone that when I notice I'm running low on something, just during the week, whenever, I just add it to my shopping list on my phone, and then it's good to go. So having that automated is really helpful, but you can use paper lists, whatever works for you. Then number two is to organize your pantry into groups of similar items. So now I'm not suggesting that you need to go alphabetizing your spices like a friend of mine's mom used to do, but having some sort of structure or order to your pantry can make a massive difference. If you group together like items, it can save you time trying to find what you need when you need it and when you're tired. But the other benefit is that you'll also be able to tell at a glance which types of items you're getting low on. You can see that you haven't got many tins there, or if you don't have many bottles in the oil section, it kind of makes it a lot easier, particularly if you're a visual person. Then tip number three is to avoid the trap of deep shelves. So there's a saying, out of sight, out of mind, for a reason. If you're ever lucky enough to be designing a pantry, make sure your shelves aren't too deep so you have maximum visibility. But of course, if a complete pantry redesign isn't possible right now, which probably isn't for most of us, consider investing in a few boxes so you can easily slide them in and out and have full view of all the contents. It can make a huge difference. Number four, develop the habit of actually looking in your pantry on a regular basis. So, you know when you're deciding what to wear and it feels like you have nothing suitable, and then you look in your wardrobe and find heaps of things you've actually forgotten about. So it's the same with food and pantry. So don't rely on your memory. Use your eyes and you'll find possibilities opening up. I often don't even put any pressure on myself to think about what I'm going to cook until I actually look in the fridge and in my pantry. And then tip number five, when shopping, choose some long life vegetables. So as I mentioned, I've had celery and cabbages which have lasted up to a month in the fridge. So make sure that some of your veg will last into the next week or longer. It takes the pressure off getting the amount of food you buy exactly right. I think I covered that in the fresh produce module, but it's a really cool concept. It can make a big difference. Then number six, develop a habit of actually looking in your fridge and freezer on a regular basis. So there can be a whole world of options in both these locations, but you need to know about them to take advantage of them. So I'm guilty of not always opening up the freezer I'm guilty of only opening up the freezer when I want to get something out, and I'm always surprised what I find in there. So just building up on the look in your pantry, that's a kind of another one. It is a really important point. So tip number seven, explore options for stocking your fridge pantry. So don't fall into the trap of thinking a pantry is only about the store cupboard ingredients stored at room temperature. The marvel of modern refrigeration makes pantry staples out of many foods. So we went through the list, but think cheeses, especially halloumi, tofu, yogurt, other dairy products, eggs, smoked fish and salami, and other cured meats. Number eight, find a butcher who will cryovac for you. So meat will keep for up to a month in the fridge, ready to use when vacuum packed or cryovacked. So I've actually started buying my meat directly from a farmer, and he packs everything up in cryovac. So some goes into the freezer, but much of it just sits in the fridge until needed. I find that really helpful because you don't have to remember to defrost it before you cook it. Then number nine, rotate the produce in your fridge on a regular basis. So let's face it, things can easily hide in the back of the fridge and get forgotten. I have a large and a smaller space in my my crisper drawer. So since I adopted the policy of transferring all the older veg into the small drawer before I put my new purchases away, and remembering to look in the small drawer first before I look in the big drawer, it's made a massive difference to the amount of veg I throw away. So some sort of rotation system can be really helpful. Then number 10, freeze in small, easily accessible packages. So we'll cover freezing and defrosting in greater detail. But for now, remember, taking the time to divide food into small packets before freezing makes it much quicker and easier to defrost as you need. Then number 11, explore the world of frozen veg and fruit. So frozen produce can be just as good, and in case of frozen peas, even better than fresh produce from the supermarket. So think beyond frozen peas and berries. There's soybeans, also known as edamame, broad beans, mango, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower can all be wonderful from the freezer. Tip number 12, have a spring clean from time to time. So a clean pantry can be a thing of joy. It's also helpful to identify what you're using and stop repeat purchase mistakes, or it can also inspire you, but recommend it from every now and again. Then lastly, we have a use up the pantry project every now and again. So if you're feeling a little broke, or if you know that you're going to be away for a while, it can be fun and economical to try eating from the pantry to have a little clear out. And I do this, I'm actually doing this at the moment with my freezer. Just, you know, eating things up so that you're actually using them. So now we'll move on to four common pantry mistakes and, of course, how to avoid them. So mistake number one, running out of essential ingredients. So I've said it before, a pantry is only as useful as if it contains actual ingredients you can use for actual meals or recipes that you love to cook and eat. So think about your shopping habits. Decide on the best frequency for you to have a dedicated pantry shop. It could be only once a month where you write a list and do a big stockpile, or it might be something that you do on an ongoing basis. So another solution is to decide whether it would be helpful to have a list that you create as you go near the pantry or on the fridge. I don't, but my mum used to live by her list, so it's something that could work for you. Mistake number two is suffering from pantry chaos. So an overflowing pantry with things stuffed in willy-nilly can be just as useless as an empty pantry and a lot more daunting. So chaos is unlikely to inspire you when you're feeling tired or hungry. It's more likely to make you want to just shut the door again. So think about it. Isn't the thought of a chaotic pantry enough to make you just want to avoid the scary pantry altogether and pick up the phone and order some delivery? So overcoming pantry chaos isn't as difficult as you'd think. Developing some sort of order to your pantry that works for you. And I find keeping like ingredients together, as I mentioned before, is really helpful. Mistake number three, letting items go past their use-by date. So even long-lived items that eventually go bad, but the good news is this is really easy to avoid. When you put your shopping away, remember to rotate, and newly purchased items go to the back of the stack or the row and use the front items first. And it's really simple, but it makes a difference. Then mistake number four, allowing infestation to strike. So this used to be a huge problem when I was living in Sydney. Between the disgusting cockroaches and the Indian meal moths, there was a lot of waste in my pantry. That was until I invested in a set of glass canisters, just cheap ones from IKEA that look great and aren't very expensive. So I can't recommend this enough. Get some sort of system for sealing open packets, preferably glass canisters, but at least use Ziploc bags. So because open packets are an invitation to insects and moths, which is not what you want. Great, so we've been through everything. Now it's time for your action. So remember, insight without action is worthless. So take action now while all this is fresh in your mind. So your first step is to complete, if you haven't already, complete step three for developing your habits from module one. So if you go back to module one, step three is to develop a plan for developing your new habits / kicking your old habits. So we're going to come back to that each week because it's so important to get those habits ingrained. Then your action for this week number two is to choose two pantry recipes from the selection below. Then your next step after that is to write a shopping list and buy the ingredients you need for those two recipes, and then the next time you need a quick dinner, cook one of your pantry meals rather than defaulting to takeaway. And then your action step number four is to report back. So I really encourage you to share your experience with your pantry meals. So either leave a comment on the recipe page that you've chosen or take it up a notch and share a picture of your creation on the Stones of Birch Cookery School Facebook group or on Instagram. And there's a link there. If you click on the share link in the nav menu, that'll take you to a page that shows you where to sign up for both of those. And what's up next? So next module, we're going to be going in looking at the 10 ingredient shopping list in module four. So I'll look forward to seeing you then.